mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, while the Findlay City Schools are understandably celebrating win at the ballot box this week, does passage of their income tax levy mean the end of the district's financial challenges? Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton weighs in. Also this morning, the good news for the city schools comes during Teacher Appreciation Week. For a variety of reasons, many educators believe it takes on an even more important significance this year. And we'll get an update on upcoming programs and events at the Findlay YMCA. Stephanie Parsons will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, May 8th, 2025. No Pope yet, at least as of this moment. It's about 10 minutes after 6 a.m. as we are doing the program live. You're listening to the podcast. Who knows? It may be outdated already. But as of this morning, it's just past noon at the Vatican. And there is, I am monitoring the video feed from the Vatican here in the studio. And I looked up and it looked to me like there was white smoke coming out of the chimney there at the Sistine Chapel, but it was black, and so there is no Pope. I thought, hey, do we have a Pope already? No, not yet, but they continue their deliberation at the Vatican. We'll see how long this takes. I think we mentioned yesterday, for the past 150 years, there has not been a conclave last more than like 4 or 5 days, so we'll probably know before the weekend is out, probably, but we don't know what we don't know. So, closer to home, the 10th annual Light Ohio Blue campaign is now underway. It's an effort to honor law enforcement officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty. The local peace officer memorial observance is happening on Monday, and residents across the state, now through May 17th, are encouraged to show their support for police by displaying blue lights outside their homes. A lot of agencies were part of the kickoff to the Light Ohio Blue campaign with a police cruiser caravan in the state capitol in Columbus yesterday evening. So, Light Ohio Blue over the next several days. Mention that. Certainly very important. We talked about this the other day. I have a follow-up. I think we were talking about this late last week. A 50-year-old Soviet space probe that was meant to explore the planet Venus is expected to crash back to Earth soon. You remember we were talking about this? The Cosmos 482 probe was launched back in 1972, malfunctioned, and never made it to Venus. It has been stuck in Earth's orbit as space junk ever since. The dead spacecraft, which is about the size of an automobile, was built to survive the hottest planet in our solar system. And because of that, they're concerned that when it falls to Earth, it might survive reentry. It was designed to withstand extreme temperatures like those that generally burn up space junk as it re-enters the atmosphere. It might survive, and it's pretty good size. Scientists say the chance that it hits a person when it falls back to Earth is about 1 in 10,000. 1 in 10,000, which is pretty long odds, although I would feel a lot better if they would add a couple more zeros to the end of that. I mean, if it were 1 in 1 million or 1 in 10 million, that would be much better. But 1 in 10,000, they say. It is on track for re-entry, it says now here, sometime this week. And that's the latest update. They say sometime this week. But they don't say exactly when. I would feel a lot more comfortable if they could add a couple of zeros to the odds of it hitting someone. And if they could actually pinpoint maybe when this would be happening. So, not to mention the fact that even if it doesn't, again, we were talking about this last week, even if it doesn't hit anyone, something that size striking Earth is likely to cause some serious damage one way or the other, even if it doesn't hit anyone directly. You know what I mean? So we'll see if this comes of anything, anything comes from this. But I just wanted to update you. It is not strike. This is why you haven't heard anything about this, because it hasn't fallen back to Earth yet. Sometime this week is what they are saying now. So. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started. Moderna is testing. Yeah, they are in a phase 3 clinical trial of a new combined flu and COVID shot. And they say it has outperformed standalone vaccines. This is an article published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The trial, phase 3 clinical trial, included over 8,000 adults ages 50 and up. They were trying to see if the combination vaccine was able to generate more antibodies in folks who received the jab. And apparently, that is the case. It has outperformed standalone vaccines. So not only is it just one shot to protect against both the flu and COVID, but it is actually more effective. Dr. Jesse Goodman says this is very promising, suggests that the vaccine should have similar or even higher levels of protection to traditional flu vaccines. And they say a combination shot could make it easier to get vaccinated against both COVID and the flu with one shot, and that would be much more preferable for most consumers, I would think. Most patients would rather have one than two shots. And you remember back during the throes of the pandemic, we were talking about vaccines and what this would be moving forward. They're saying it would be something that we would probably have to get an annual booster for, because it would continue to evolve and morph. This vaccine, kind of like the flu does, and it's just part of it now. But just one combination vaccine, that was, you know, the goal all along. It looks like we are close. So maybe by this cold and flu season, we're going to have to worry about it for a few months yet, but maybe by this cold and flu season, we'll finally have that single jab for both. This is kind of disturbing. When I saw this on the Newswire, I thought, has to do with technology, specifically robotics and AI. It appears, according to research out of University Park, Pennsylvania, it appears that gender bias transfers into the world of robots. What they found, that's right, gender bias. I didn't know robots had genders, but this is the research. They found that women were more likely to trust a male-looking robot over a female-looking robot. They make robots to appear as though they are male or female, and women are more likely to trust the robots that look like men. However, when robots looked cuter and didn't resemble either a male or female in particular, the bias disappeared. Researcher Lavi Ping, University Park, Pennsylvania, says for businesses that want to mitigate gender stereotypes, they can consider using a cute design for their robots. This is what we have come to in our society today. Gender bias in robots. All right. Okay, and lastly here, among the first things that you need to know, most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, U.S. News and World Report is out with its 2025 Best States rankings. Every year, they judge all 50 states on factors like healthcare, education, economy, infrastructure, opportunity, fiscal stability, crime and corrections, and natural environment. And taking all of those factors into consideration, the number one state for 2025, Utah, number one on the list, landing in the top 20 in 7 of the 8 categories. Coming in at number 2 in the report is the state of New Hampshire. And rounding out the top 5, Idaho, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Those are the best states, according to U.S. News and World Report. You might wonder which state holds the distinction of being the worst state. Well, that would be Louisiana, ranking in the bottom 10 in all 8 categories, coming in dead last in economy and crime and corrections. So Louisiana at the very bottom of the list. And where does the great state of Ohio sit? Well, apparently the great state of Ohio isn't all that great. According to U.S. News and World Report, number 38 overall out of 50. Broken down by category, we are number 31 in crime and corrections, 30th in education, 34th in healthcare, 41st in natural environment, 39th in economy, number 30 in infrastructure. We're working hard on that, though. If you've driven on the I-75 County Road 99 exchange, we're working hard on infrastructure. Number 25 in fiscal stability, and our top ranking by category, number 17 in opportunity. But overall, number 38 for the state of Ohio. Now you know. I don't know if it means anything. You may agree or disagree, but there is the list, one way or the other. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly cloudy today with a high around 60. Just a few clouds tonight, low around 40. An appeals court has upheld 2 convictions in the largest political corruption scheme in Ohio's history.
Federal appeals court is upholding the convictions of former Ohio House Speaker Larry Householder and ex-GOP Chairman Matt Borges. The panel ruled no error in the jury's finding that both men held past $1 billion bail out for First Energy in exchange for political donations. Householder is serving 20 years in federal prison. Borges is serving 5. Householder also faces new state charges.
ONN's Dave Chodowski reporting. Last weekend, volunteers and members of the American Red Cross of North Central Ohio and Liberty Township Fire Department installed more than 100 free smoke alarms for families during a Sound the Alarm home fire safety event in the Riverview Terrace Mobile Home Park. Todd James, executive director of the North Central Ohio chapter of the Red Cross in Findlay, says they're grateful to everybody who supported the Sound the Alarm event to help keep hundreds of our neighbors safe from home fires. He says the Red Cross's Sound the Alarm event has saved more than 2,200 lives since launching in 2014. And locally during that time, the North Central Ohio chapter and local partners have installed thousands of free smoke alarms and made hundreds of households safer. Get more details in this story on our website. The Corey Rawson Local Schools Board of Education has announced the appointment of Tony Fenstermaker as the next superintendent of Corey Rawson Local Schools, effective August 1st. The school district says Fenstermaker brings a wealth of experience and a strong commitment to student success to Corey Rawson Local Schools. See a picture of the new superintendent and learn more about him in this story on our website. The Findlay-Hancock County Public Library will be holding a plant swap on Saturday. The library is inviting plant enthusiasts to come swap plants and chat with other plant lovers on Saturday from 1 to 3. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
And now our cover story this morning, following up on this week's primary election. The Findlay City Schools are understandably celebrating a big win at the ballot box on Tuesday. Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton is with us on the line this morning. Congratulations on a big win of the passage of the income tax levy. I know a lot of folks were holding their breath over the course of the past several weeks to see how this vote would go. And with the win, I know there are a lot of thank yous to dole out here.
Well, good morning, Chris. As always, thank you for having me on. Yes, and good morning to you. Good morning to Trojan Country. And how fitting it was on that Tuesday, on Teacher Appreciation Day nationally. Yeah. And we are just so humbled and incredibly grateful for our community just for recognizing the needs of our school and choosing to invest in our future.
Talk a little about all the people who made this happen. I mean, obviously, this was a very concerted effort after the loss in November. It really came back, and a lot of forums, a lot of active community engagement to drive home the point of how necessary, how critical this was.
Correct. This was just an incredible, incredible effort. And, you know, first and foremost, our staff, our amazing teachers. Last fall and then again in the winter, I went around to every staff and met with everyone that I could. And I said, just continue to take care of kids and help them learn and grow every day and support them in every way. And our staff just did an incredible job. I'm really proud of our Board of Education for getting out there and leading. And then, of course, it really came down to that group, the Citizens for Findlay City Schools, who banded together, met with the school district, and got all the facts, and then just really promoted their belief in Findlay City Schools and in our kids, and that this was about our community. And so just so grateful to those individuals.
As you mentioned, appropriately enough, the vote came on Teacher Appreciation Day. This is Teacher Appreciation Week. With that in mind, what do you see as the message being sent to the schools by the voters on Tuesday?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that we heard after November loud and clear is that our community expects not only academic excellence and diverse opportunities for all of its children, it expects transparency, and it expects to be heard and listened to, and it expects that we are building trust through those two things, along with all of the academic excellence and diverse opportunities. So I think it sends a message that this is not just an investment in our future, but the first in a long journey of continuing to enhance trust between our public schools and our community.
And with respect to those issues of transparency and trust, what do you say to those who, number one, did not vote for the levy because it was not unanimous, or those who kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of held their nose and voted yes, knowing that it was the kids who would end up being hurt otherwise, but still have concerns about about those issues of transparency and trust and fiscal management and so on within the Findlay City Schools?
Well, you know, obviously one of the things that I continue to say is what I love about our democratic process is that we all have the opportunity to have our voices heard through the vote. And I always tell young people and everyone, never sit out any election. Make sure your voice is heard. And I guess what I would share with everyone is that, you know, this levy protects our students and our staff from further reductions and allows us to stabilize this budget for the long term. And with a stabilized budget, we can really, because we've said for a long time, we said it, you know, when you had me on a year and a half ago and earlier this year, mm-hmm. you know, we're doing well on the state report card. We're meeting, if not exceeding, some state standards, but we are not exceeding Findlay standards. And so that investment in our future has long-term economic impact. It has impact on our property values. This is truly an investment for the whole community.
It does not, however, necessarily mean the end of the district's financial challenges, right?
Oh, no, sir. That's right. So, you know, another thing that the Board of Education voted on that resolution in January for the $6 million in cuts. We are continuing to move forward with that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've already cut about $1 million out of the budget that was approved for next year back in February, primarily administrative positions. Our teachers union and our custodial maintenance union, along with the administrators, will be taking pay freezes next year. So those cuts are still going to take place due to the fact that we did not pass back in November. We are also looking at the uncertainty of utility costs going up. We're being told about 20% starting this summer. And then I really like all of Trojan Country to really pay attention to House Bill 96, which is currently sitting in our Senate, which could significantly underfund public schools across the state of Ohio with the Bipartisan Fair School Funding Act and formula potentially not moving forward. So there's a lot of uncertainty moving forward, but this step on Tuesday really is going to help stabilize us, I hope, for a long-term future.
So what happens next? Again, given the fact that there are still cuts that will take effect for at least the next school year. Again, we talked about this in the past in the run-up to the election, the possibility that some of those cuts might be reversed after after next year. But that is far from certain. But so there are still decisions that have to be made. There are still questions moving forward. What happens next now that you have this part of the equation settled?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. And so a couple of things have changed over the last 12 months, as we've always told the public in full transparency that things are going to change along the way, and that has certainly happened. So one thing that changed about a year ago was the eligible retirement age for public educators went down to 33 years, and then just 2 weeks ago, it went down to you can retire with your full benefits at 32 years. So we've actually had a larger amount of attrition than expected, and our hope is to keep everyone on our team that we absolutely can. They might be teaching a different subject next year or maybe at a different school, but we've had a significant amount of attrition, so we're very, very hopeful to hold on to everyone that we can. We still have difficult decisions here at the May board meeting in a couple weeks and then in the June meeting because we still have to stabilize the budget here in the short term. Mm-hmm. Because, as you know, we won't start collecting on this 1% earned income tax until April of 26. So we are still looking at some significant reductions in our supplemental positions, which are those extracurricular opportunities that we're so proud of, and then our some adjustments to transportation. So the board is taking its time and being very prudent judicious about what can we do to mitigate this impact on our kids.
And then just to be clear, with respect to the cuts that will be implemented that have already been announced, and again, you emphasized would take effect next year one way or the other, regardless of this vote this week, at what point do you take a second look at those for possible reinstatement the following year? Is that is something that will happen toward the end of next school year, I would imagine?
Yeah, we will. Well, I think that we'll take that up throughout the year. We're here in the month of May. What treasurers in schools in the state of Ohio can do is submit new information to the state for a new forecast. And we will immediately start considering what and when we can start to bring back, mm-hmm. whether it's positions, whether it's those extracurricular opportunities.
Yeah.
We're going to begin those discussions immediately.
But to be clear, there's no guarantee that any of those cuts will be rolled back. This will just stave off further cuts.
That's right. The failure in November mm-hmm. means that we have to move forward with the $6 million in cuts for the 25-26 school year. Again, the board is going to do everything it can to take a look at everything that we have in the budget to see what we can do to minimize and mitigate those impacts on kids for the 25-26 school year. Then we hopefully will have some budget certainty out of the state starting in July, so that we can again further consider what can we do to minimize this impact on kids. But again, very hopeful, very optimistic, given the support that we got on Tuesday.
And certainly don't want to throw any cold water on that victory. It is certainly a reason for celebration for the Findlay City Schools to have passed that income tax levy on Tuesday. And again, Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton with us this morning talking about the implications and what happens moving forward. Dr. Hatton, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
As always, Chris, thank you so much, and go Trojans.
As we referenced a little bit earlier, and Dr. Hatton mentioned this, that Teacher Appreciation Day fell on Tuesday of this week, the same day that voters approved the funding levy for the Findlay City Schools. In fact, this is Teacher Appreciation Week. Certainly, we all know a teacher who believed in us maybe more than we believed in ourselves. One who sparked a lifelong love of learning, helped us find our passion, and encouraged us to pursue that passion. educators who dedicate their careers to helping every student reach their full potential. But this year, there is an added significance. The president of the National Education Association, Becky Pringle, is with us this morning. And you say that National Teacher Appreciation Week takes on a more significant meaning this year. How so?
You know, Chris, I taught eighth graders the wonders of science for 31 years, and I always loved this time of year. We do. We all do. We all do. The smiles on our kids' faces, our parents coming in to say thank you. But as I travel all over this country and I talk to teachers here in Ohio and from Ohio to Washington State to my home state of Pennsylvania, what they're saying to me this year is what they need is support. They need to know that they're going to have the resources that their students need, that their schools need, so they can do the jobs they love. So our theme this year is appreciation through action, making sure that those people who are elected and appointed to positions that make decisions about our public schools are funding our public schools so that we can do the jobs we love.
What about those who say, and it's certainly a very important point, that schools have to be adequately funded, but what about those who say that money is not necessarily the be-all and end-all, that there are lots of things that schools and teachers need in order to help students be successful? It's not just about the dollars and the cents, because we spend an awful lot of money on schools already.
But you know what, Chris? We don't spend enough. We've never equitably funded our schools, ever. Not anywhere in this country. And so when we think that we can meet the needs of every student without those resources, we know that some students will not get the individual attention that they need. We know that class sizes will go up. We know that that those students that particularly are vulnerable, our students with disabilities, those who come from low-income families that need those extra supports, won't get them. And so it is so important this year that we show our appreciation to our teachers by saying, you know what, this year I'm going to give you that mug that says, I heart my teacher, and I'm going to put a handwritten note inside that mug. And it's going to say, we care about you. So we called our member of Congress and we told them not to cut funding for our students with disabilities. We support you. So we emailed our senator and said to them, fund those students whose families have those lower incomes, that we know you and your students need our help. So we are posting on social media about how private school vouchers take money away from our public schools. Those are the kinds of things that will let educators know that they're not alone. And even though they always have taken money out of their own pockets, I certainly did, they can't meet all of those gaps. They need everyone to help meet those needs of every student.
I know you hear it time and time again, the narrative that America's public schools are failing their students. What do the rankings, what does the data actually say?
When people say that, I say, you know what? What is failing is the support of our schools. What's failing is the support of our educators. You know, the NEA releases a report every year, rankings and estimates report, to just research how we're doing with our teacher salaries, and not just our teachers, our education support professionals, those who drive and feed our students as well, and those working in higher education. And those salaries have not kept up with the cost of living, with inflation. And so we know that we are continuing to experience an educator shortage crisis in this country. So what we have failed to do is to make sure that every single student has what they need when they need it, so they can live and grow and they can thrive. That's what this country needs to demonstrate is that it believes in public education. It's going to fund public education. It knows that public education is the foundation of this or any society.
As a former classroom teacher yourself, I know that you know all about this. One of the best ways that we can support teachers is by supporting our students and their education in the coming summer months. We're about ready to see the end of another school year, and kids are going to be out of the classroom for, you know, 6 weeks or more. What is the best way that we can continue to support our students and, by extension, their teachers, their schools over the coming months in preparation for the next school year?
You know, Chris, it is so important that our students continue to learn over those summer months. And so we have done a lot of work to ensure that we have the resources available for our students to continue their social, emotional, and academic learning through those months. And educators have been saying to me that they're very worried about the funding cuts, that they won't be able to have those programs. So that students are getting arts and music and math, additional math training and science. I love doing those science experiments over the summer. So we are continuing to lift up our voice, and we're asking everyone to join us to make sure we have the resources so we can have those summer school programs and our students come back to well-resourced schools so that we can create those safe, just, joyous learning environments for all of our students.
Again, Becky Pringle is the president of the National Education Association for Teacher Appreciation Week this week. Where do we get more information?
Please go to nea.org/TAW, where we have lots of exciting ideas, creative ideas, fun ideas, where you can say thank you to the teachers in your lives and lift them up during this Teacher Appreciation Week.
So very deserving of all of those honors. Becky Pringle, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
We have a follow-up to a story that we had in the broken news just yesterday. You remember the kangaroo that was seen hopping through the community of St. Cloud, Florida the other day? Yeah, there was a kangaroo on the loose. Not something that you see every day in the state of Florida. Alligators, sure. But kangaroos, that's a little unusual. Well, let's see here. This is the kangaroo was seen hopping through St. Cloud on Monday before it was captured. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has announced now that they have located the owner of the kangaroo, and he has been charged with two misdemeanors. Brian Stephen Castro Rendon, as it turns out, did not have the proper permits to keep the kangaroo. He has been charged with misdemeanors. He's in the process, though, of now getting the proper permits. He will still not be allowed to retake possession of the marsupial, though, until he builds an enclosure that is up to code. Apparently, in Florida, they have a code for kangaroo enclosures. And he has to have his permit, and he has to enclosure. Is up to code, so his kangaroo doesn't get tie my kangaroo down. Sport. Do you remember that song? That's just popped in my head. Tie that kangaroo down. Elsewhere in the broken news from the international file, in the UK, a woman by the name of Lorna Rook, who was employed as a blood donation worker at the National Health Service, has now been awarded compensation after her co-workers compared her to Darth Vader. Here's the story. It started about 4 or 5 years ago when Ms. Rook's colleagues took a Star Wars-themed personality test. Okay, so they're all just sitting around the office, and see this personality test based on the characters of Star Wars. Now, Ms. Rook did not elect to take the test herself, but a co-worker filled out the survey on her behalf. And it turned out her result was Darth Vader. The personality test described her as a very focused individual, like Darth Vader. Ms. Rook did not feel great about being likened to the Dark Lord of the Star Wars universe. She said it made her feel uncomfortable, so uncomfortable that she resigned from her position within a few weeks. And then she sued because it was a hostile work environment. While the court hearing the case did not determine that being compared to Darth Vader led to Ms. Rook's departure from her job necessarily, it did rule that being aligned with his personality is insulting. And thus, Ms. Rook has been awarded compensation in the amount of $38,000. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that sound like something that Darth Vader would do? Do you really think about it? I'm just saying. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, residents of a town in Turkey got an interesting experience recently after police burned 20 tons of confiscated marijuana right there in the city of in the center of the city and got everybody in the city high for 5 days. So cannabis is illegal in Turkey, of course, and they had 20 tons of it that they had confiscated, illegal marijuana. They decided to burn it right there in the city center. And for 5 days, the locals could not open their windows and had to avoid leaving their homes. They made the whole town high for 5 days. The destroyed cannabis was valued at over $261 million. This was perhaps done as a preventative measure to deter. It was a deterrent, a very public deterrent. You know, we'll seize your marijuana and we'll burn it. But the fact that it was destroyed in the center of the city could cause serious discomfort to people due to the smoke of burned hemp, according to one resident who recommends that in the future police dispose of marijuana in factories with filtered chimneys. Although I would think there would probably be a handful of people, at least a handful of people, who would say, hey, bring it on, do this. They were high for a week. File that under the category of sounded like a good idea at the time. Story from the International File about an American tourist behaving badly. Another one. We're coming up on travel and vacation season. Please, if you are an American traveling overseas, don't act like an idiot. A tourist from the United States ended up channeling an ancient gladiator while visiting the famed Colosseum in Rome, probably not in the way he intended. According to this report, this is in USA Today, the tourist, who is a U.S. citizen, climbed on a fence outside of the Colosseum in order to take a better photo. However, he ended up slipping and getting stuck in the spikes on the fence. Ouch! Ouch! Yes, that's right. He kind of impaled himself. Maybe it felt like he had been in a gladiator battle there at the Colosseum. Had to be removed from the fence under sedation and transported to a local hospital for surgery. He was then questioned by police. No charges have yet been announced, but there's a reason why it is a spiked fence. Don't climb it. That is a deterrent. Mm-mm. Maybe he had just been to Turkey and was still feeling a few of the effects. I don't know. But, yeah. not too bright. Don't be that tourist. You are on vacation overseas this summer. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is kind of an odd story. Out of the state of Missouri, they have a new law where gold and silver in the state of Missouri, bulk gold and silver are now legal tender in the state. So shoppers may soon be able to pay for their groceries with silver and gold. State representatives approved a bill that would make gold and silver legal tender in Missouri. It would not require businesses to accept precious metals as payment, but it would allow them to do so in the state of Missouri. And I'm thinking, I don't know, you know, buying your groceries or, you know, buying something with silver and gold. Can you imagine somebody, you know, like trading grandma's antique wedding ring for a Happy Meal at McDonald's or something? Well, that could cause all kinds of problems. I don't know. It's a little weird. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Did you know more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection? AM radio is the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping Americans safe in dangerous times. This is News Director Matt Demchak. AM 1330 WFIN is here to serve you, and we take seriously our commitment to our listeners. We would love to hear what you value most about AM radio. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM.
And now, your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. We're talking about schools this morning. School's going to be out here before too long. And according to a new survey of 2,000 millennial parents, one in three say that they will be expect to experience anxiety every day this summer. The parents, not the students, are going to be anxious about the kids being out of class. 29% say the end of the school year makes them exhausted. 28% of parents feel anxiety. And 21% say that they are overwhelmed when the kids are out of class in the summertime. Those who are stressed out about the end of the school year are most anxious about having the kids around the house 24/7. Exactly one-third, 33%, worry that they won't have enough time for themselves as a result. Also, those who feel stressed by the final weeks of the school year say that it stems from having to figure out how to balance their own work schedule with their child's summer lack of a schedule. 49% say that that is stressful. 41% cite the unpredictable nature of the summer schedule as a stressor. And 37% in the survey say that they are stressed out about the potential of not having enough time to get all of the household work done that they need done with the kids underfoot 24/7. I don't know. They're around all the time. Make them do some of this work. That's the answer there. And interestingly, in the survey, you find the period of stress among parents begins 28 days, on average, 28 days before the last day of the school year. So that stress is already building now. And then on average, parents only start to relax 25 days after summer break begins. So it takes like 3 weeks to settle into some sort of summer routine. So I guess the moral of that story is, if you know a millennial parent, give him or her a bit of a break over the next several weeks, because they're a little bit stressed by the kids getting out of school. I'll find out what's happening at the Findlay YMCA. Stephanie Parsons is with us, along with Development Director Kimberly Ray. Thanks very much for dropping by, both of you. Welcome to the studio once again. I noticed, Stephanie, I was looking at the calendar of events on the website. You've got this kind of ironic. You have a daddy-daughter dance coming up tomorrow to kick off Mother's Day weekend, which is kind of interesting there. But
yeah, I don't think we did that on purpose. But yes, we have our, I think it's probably at least our 8th annual daddy-daughter dance.
That's
that
very
will
cool.
take part.
That's
so I know we have a lot in attendance, and it's always great to see those.
Is that something the folks need to get to register for, get tickets in advance, or
yes.
can folks still do that? If
yes, the cutoff is actually going to be today. So
okay.
if you're interested,
right.
Make sure that you get online or stop in at one of our branches to sign up
there
for
you
that.
Daddy daughter dance coming up, and that's at the downtown branch tomorrow evening.
Yes.
Yeah, terrific. Right now, the big thing that is going on, we want to highlight, is the Open Door Scholarship campaign. And Kimberly, tell us a little bit about this. This is not new. It's got a new name, though, I understand, right?
That's correct. It's not new. It's our annual campaign that we do every year. And this year, we just decided to do a more focused opportunity with the campaign to give people an idea of what the money is that we're asking for every year that we raise. And so so we decided to change it.
So talk a little bit about that, then. What is this all about?
So the Open Doors Community Scholarship Campaign, it helps to offset the memberships for folks who otherwise wouldn't be able to join the Y.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that is that, you know, in 2024, we helped support 193 families, and that's a 19% increase from 2023.
Yeah.
So the need is there. And the great thing about it is that while it offsets that 10 to 90%, depending on, you know, your income, it also gives you an additional 25% off of any programs that the Y offers that aren't covered under the membership, like camp, for example, which is coming up. So it's a great opportunity for the community to get involved, to help support our community for those who are in need.
For those who are not members, perhaps because they can't afford it, maybe one of the reasons, one of the things we should talk about is, are the benefits of being a Y member. I think for a lot of folks who are not members, maybe don't realize all of the benefits that are there.
Yeah, we have lots of amenities, but I will start by saying once you're a member, we do have a member rate for all of our programs, which is a blessing in disguise.
Yeah,
we do still do non-member rates. They're a little bit more increased because we value our members.
Right.
But some of our amenities, I think, we don't talk enough about. We have the East Branch that has 10 indoor tennis courts and pickleball being played out on the tennis courts, too. So that is a growing sport that we're seeing a lot of.
And a lot of various classes and programs. It's not, you know, certainly people can go and you know, on their own, exercise, swim, play tennis, what have you. But you also have a number of classes, number of things of those nature.
We do. You know, we do swim lessons, which I always like to talk about right now with summer coming around.
Yep.
The number one death in children is drowning. So we definitely want individuals to take part in our swim lessons. We do Swim with a Smile. That's out at Riverside. It's a free program throughout the summer months to get individuals involved in swim lessons. And then we go from aerobic classes. We have tons of aerobic classes that you can join. And then, of course, we have all of our youth sports,
right,
which is just a array of sunshine.
For kids within the community. So a lot of benefits to being a Y member, and then the Open Door Scholarship campaign gives individuals who wouldn't ordinarily have that opportunity the chance to join in and partake of those all of those benefits.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you know, the YMCA, our goal is to make sure that we're a place for everyone, you know, that you can come and you can enjoy. You know, friendships are built there. We see it every single day. You know, people, their growth, you know, as they join classes and they become more confident in the things that they can do.
Right.
You know, kids doing judo or, you know, swimming like we talked about, you know, to keep from drowning. And, you know, it's just great. Feeding our children, supporting our, you know, our growing elderly, you know, citizens there, and just an array of things like, you know.
So the Open Door Scholarship campaign is underway now. How do folks help?
So they can go on the website, and that is FinleyYMCA.org. Mm-hmm. And at the top, you'll see a give button. Just click that, and it'll walk you through all the steps to donate online.
Okay. Is there a goal for the campaign?
There certainly is. We are looking to raise $200,000 this year. Yeah. You know, again, we know it's growing 19% from last year, mm-hmm. you know, to this year. We were expecting, you know, probably another 10% of that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you do the math. If you're at nearly 200 folks or families who are benefiting from this, you can figure that's probably another 20 at least right. in the next year. So, and is there a deadline? I mean, this go on through?
Through when? August.
Okay.
Yeah, through All August. Right.
And we have the link on our webpage at goodmornings.net for more information about that and other things that are going on. Stephanie, you mentioned the pool going to be opening very soon. We're bearing down on Memorial Day
we
here.
We are.
So,
it's going to be open. I drove by, and the water is in the pool. So we will be opening on Memorial Day, and we're
Got
really
the hose
excited.
In there filling it up. And so it opens Memorial Day weekend.
That is correct.
Can folks purchase passes and all of that? Give us the details on this here.
Yeah, so definitely those are live. Okay. You can go, once again, to our website to purchase those or just swing by one of our locations and purchase those. And I do want to mention that our members do get a discount on our Riverside passes
there
also.
There again. Yeah. And the swim lessons, when do those start up?
So those will start in June.
Okay.
And we increased that. We saw an increase last year of the need. Mm-hmm. So we're offering more of the Swim with a Smile throughout the summer. So they'll go into July.
And folks can sign up for those on the website
yes,
as well.
Yes, and I would say go quickly because those fill up pretty fast.
Yeah, understandably so. And again, anyone can sign up for those within the community.
That's true. Yeah. Yep.
And then... something else that I wanted to mention as we were coming up on the summer season. But in any event, again, the entire list of activities, programs, that kind of thing are up there.
Camp might have been on your mind.
That
yes.
was it. Camp.
Yep.
Yes.
We have more offerings once again for the community to join. We know that throughout the summer months, that's a need for parents as they go back to work and mm-hmm. have kids at home. So
right.
My kids went through that program. They enjoyed it. In fact, they've aged out of it, and they're very upset about that. So,
And those camp programs are live as well?
They are live, yes.
And like with the swim lessons, I would imagine sooner rather than later get signed up.
They're filling up quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And those are geared for what ages?
So you can be a kindergartner all the way up to fifth grade.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Again, we've got a link on our webpage for more information at goodmornings.net. And Stephanie Parsons, Kimberly Ray from the Findlay YMCA with us this morning talking about things that are coming up, programs, happenings, things going on as we head toward the summer months. Ladies, thanks very much
Thank
for dropping
you so
by.
Much, Chris.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and you can find us online at goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Again, goodmornings.net. It's our little corner of the World Wide Web. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow to finish up the week.